Well, it's time once again for our monthly conversation with UNC Health Pardee. This month, we want to talk about AFib. We want to learn about AFib. Therefore, we are talking with Dr. Martin Sullivan. He is a cardiologist with Pardee Cardiology Associates. Dr. Sullivan, first of all, thank you for your time. We appreciate you joining us.
Oh, nice to be here.
So you're here to talk about something that a lot of us have maybe heard of. Maybe we have a little bit of an understanding, but we need to understand it better. And that is atrial fibrillation. Did I say it right?
You said it right. It's kind of a mouthful, but atrial fibrillation, it's an important health problem. And it's about the top part of the heart having an electrical short circuit that makes it beat very, very rapidly. So your heart should beat, the top of the heart should beat one beat, and then the blood goes through and the bottom heart should go one beat. So we get the love dub. Well, when somebody has atrial fibrillation, they have a short circuit in the top of their heart. So the top of the heart, the atria, which collect the blood from the body and the lungs, which are thin-walled chambers, that mean they're just there to collect blood, they're beating very, very rapidly. So two things happen because of that. First of all, the heart is out of rhythm. It's no longer synchronized, so that the atrium cannot fill the bottom part of the heart. So the heart is much less efficient. That's one problem. The other problem is when the left atrium, the atrium that's on the arterial side, the side that goes out the aorta to the rest of the body, because it's not squeezing, it is predisposed to get a blood clot in it. It's predisposed to get a blood clot in part of it called the appendage, which is like a little cavity in it. And once you have a blood clot in the left atrium, that blood clot, if it breaks off, goes from the left atrium to the left ventricle and then goes into the aorta and then can lodge anywhere in your body, causing a significant problem. Now, if that lodges, if it happens to go up the arteries into your head, it can lodge in an artery in your head and cause a stroke. And many of those strokes can be very large and, you know, they occasionally can be fatal, but they often can also be disabling. So probably the biggest risk of atrial fibrillation is the risk of stroke. So people with atrial fibrillation have about a 5 times risk of stroke versus people that don't have atrial fibrillation.
Okay, interesting, because my next question was going to have something to do with heart and heart attacks. I've always known that, of course, AFib had something to do with the heart, but it does not have anything to do with a heart attack. You're saying it's more, someone's more at risk of having a stroke.
Well, it doesn't cause a heart attack.
Okay.
People who've had heart attacks or people that have heart damage are more likely to have atrial fib than people without that. But atrial fibrillation does not cause a heart attack.
Okay.
Now, what atrial fibrillation can cause is if the heart is kind of weak or it's stiff, and then you go into atrial fibrillation, the heart becomes less efficient. The pressures in the heart can rise and the amount of blood being pumped around can go down, and people can have symptoms like shortness of breath or dizziness or swelling or fatigue. So those are often symptoms that people can get from having atrial fibrillation.
Okay. So what is it that causes AFib, and who are the people that are mostly at risk?
Well, we know that there are a number of risk factors for atrial fibrillation, and those include high blood pressure, being overweight, having other heart disease, and age is one of the biggest risk factors. The older we get, the higher our likelihood of getting atrial fibrillation. So about 10 to 20 million people in the United States have atrial fibrillation. So it's like 3% of the population. And there's about 1 million new cases a year. So it's relatively common, you know, about 3% of the population. It tends to be in older people, but occasionally a younger person could get atrial fibrillation. And even though we have these risk factors like hypertension, obesity, the other thing that can do it is if people do binge drinking where they drink three or four servings of alcohol at a time. That is a risk factor for atrial fibrillation. I would say most people have risk factors, but there are a few people, maybe 10 or 15% of people, that essentially have no risk factors. They don't have hypertension or any of those risk factors, and they simply develop atrial fibrillation.
So when should someone see a provider about AFib? When, what are reasons for someone to see a provider regarding this?
Well, the first thing to do is to detect, you know, find out whether you have it or not. And that can be a little tricky because I would say most people, when they have atrial fibrillation, they generally get symptoms. The biggest symptom is they feel their heart is out of rhythm, that their heart is skipping or racing. Some people feel it quite easily, other people not so easily. So if you feel like your heart is skipping or racing, you should talk to your doctor about that, because that could be a sign that you're having atrial fibrillation on and off. The problem with that is probably 25% of people with atrial fibrillation do not feel their heart skipping or racing. They go into atrial fibrillation, they're in atrial fibrillation, but they have no sensation of the heart rhythm being abnormal. So certainly you should be checked by your doctor. Your doctor should check your pulse. Many physicians get routine electrocardiograms every 3 to 5 years. That's a reasonable way to look at it. The other thing now is with all these wearable devices like, smartwatches, Apple watches, also like blood pressure monitors have EKG detection algorithms on them to look at rhythm. Those are valid ways to also find atrial fibrillation. And we found that those kind of wearable or home devices are pretty accurate. So if you have a home device like an Apple Watch or a smartwatch or a Fitbit or, you know, something like that, and it tells you that your rhythm is abnormal or that you're in atrial fibrillation, or you have a blood pressure monitor, a cuff, and it says your heart rate is irregular, I would pay attention to that and go to your doctor and get some advice about it.
That's great advice. I've always wondered if those health apps on these smartwatches actually did work. So I'm glad to hear that.
They're actually quite accurate when they compare. You know, they're getting better and better, and they're quite accurate compared to like medical devices.
Sure. So I want to remind folks, we're speaking with Dr. Martin Sullivan, cardiologist with Pardee Cardiology Associates. You've been really great with your time, Dr. Sullivan. One last question, and that is, how exactly does UNC Health Pardee help patients manage and treat AFib?
Well, that is a great question, because atrial fibrillation is eminently treatable, meaning we can treat it pretty easily, and we can get a huge reduction in problems by treating it. The biggest thing we can do to treat it is, for appropriate patients, start blood thinners that will reduce the risk of stroke by like 80 or 90%. So it's very important to identify atrial fibrillation. Talk with your doctor. Talk with your doctor about the risk of stroke. And if appropriate, blood thinners may be a very important form of therapy. The other thing we do in atrial fibrillation is we determine whether we want to see if we can get the person out of atrial fibrillation, which we can do with either medications or sometimes by giving the person an electric shock to get the heart back into rhythm. Oftentimes that really helps people. They can be restored to sinus rhythm and go and stay in sinus rhythm for long periods of time. For patients that have gone through that and they go back into atrial fibrillation, though, we also have electrophysiologic procedures called an ablation, where we go into the heart, make little teeny burns or freezes in the heart in order to interrupt the short circuit in the heart, which can also restore sinus rhythm. So we've come a long way with therapy. Therapy can have a huge benefit in atrial fibrillation, but it has to be detected.
Dr. Sullivan, once again, you've been really generous with your time. Thank you so much for joining us and sharing this information. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much. You have a great day.
Yes, sir. Folks, to learn more about cardiology services at UNC Health Pardee or to schedule an appointment, it's very simple. Just visit pardeehospital.org.